This episode features Braxton Byerson, a native of Richmond, Virginia. I call him Coach Byerson. He is an entrepreneur. He is an author. He has a marketing business specializing in social media management and business planning. You guys, you definitely want to take notes to this episode. And look, as always, if you find this information valuable, go ahead and share it with your friends and family and post it on your social media so we can all spread the love and spread the gems that you are getting on our show. Do what you love. Love what you do. Let's get it. Welcome back to another episode of Do What You Love and Love What You Do. Real excited for our guest today. I know him as Coach Byerson. Some of y'all might know him as Braxton. And then, you know, he's from the VA area and definitely a good brother that I connected with when I moved up here. We had some heated battles on the court. And, as we talk about entrepreneurship, man, I didn't know that he had that bug in him, the entrepreneurship bug in him. And, we connected on that level too. So real excited, man. We're going to drop a lot of gems for you, a lot of nuggets, and hopefully you can get some value from our show today. And if you're listening or you're watching this, you know, just be sure to share it with your friends and family. Do what you love and love what you do. It's streaming on all platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, the YouTube channel, the Facebook page, social media, all that. You can see it below, right below, if you're watching. And if you're listening, just definitely share with your friends and family because we have a special treat for you today. I talked enough. Coach got all his purple. He got all his purple. So he's an Omega Man fraternity. So definitely he repping. My wife is a Delta. Mm-hmm. So, there's a connection mm-hmm. there. Our wives are line sisters. So we definitely connected right there. So, Coach, man, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, look, I appreciate this opportunity, man, to share on your podcast, man. I've been watching and listening and finally get my opportunity to be on here, man. I really appreciate it, man. I'm doing well, though. How about yourself?
Oh, man, I'm doing well, man. Just enjoying time with the boys. Another thing, we got it coming. We got all boys. You got three, I got two. So, we got the squad already, bro. We already got the squad.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? We got the squad. So, we good on that.
Ready to go.
Yes, yeah. Sir. So, give us some background, Coach. Give us some background. Let's probably start. And let's start, your junior, senior year in high school with the basketball journey.
Okay. Junior, senior year of high school, went to Thomas Dale. And as a junior, I was a captain, and I was averaging about 20 points a game, 6 or 7 rebounds, 3 or 4 assists a game. So I was one of the top guys in the district, and probably even the region, some would say, and guess some would say even in the state. So I was a little talented back then, I guess you could say. So then using that, I was also playing with my middle brother, Brandon. So he and I were 1-2 punch that everybody would always talk about back in the day. And then we had our battles with Meadowbrook. I know you coach at Meadowbrook.
Yeah,
our battles with them guys, man. It was some great games with those guys. So going into my senior year, it was just me by myself as the only Byers. And my dad was still on the bench and everything with Coach Goss and Coach Walker. And just giving us everything that we needed to have in order to win games, man. And senior leader, averaging 25-8, just doing my thing. District Player of the Year, region Player of the Year, runner up to Brandon Rozelle, if I'm not mistaken, in 2007. Highland Springs, man. Shout out to those guys. Those are my guys too, man.
Yeah.
Yep, senior year, man. So I was a leader in District Player of the Year and all that good stuff. Region Player of the Year, runner up behind Brandon Rozelle.
Now, hold on. What kind of game did you have? I mean, You know, we kinda...
So I was a two guard. So my jumper was deadly because I.
Here we go. Everybody think they can shoot. Here we go.
ever since I can remember, man, I had been working on my jumper with myself or my dad. My dad, he, when I told him that I initially wanted to be a shooter, like he had me in the gym, like just going bonkers with technicalities and things to speed my jump shot up, and because my jump shot was terrible when I was younger.
Yeah.
So he took us to Fort Lee and had me stand at one of the rims that was always open, like in the middle of us playing games and stuff, pickup games. He would have me working on my jump shot. And so it's just like that, whatever he taught me for my jump shot, it was like, okay, this level right here, you can do this. Next level, you gotta spruce it up. You gotta speed it up and everything,
man. So it was three of y'all, right?
It was three of us. Brad is the oldest.
Okay.
Brandon is in the middle, and I'm the baby.
And you got three boys too.
Me and Brandon mixed up. I got three boys, so I followed my parents' footsteps exactly.
Okay, that's crazy. That's crazy. So
yeah.
So I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I know they're gonna see it too. Who the best ball out of all three of y'all?
So I say we can't really say who's the best because we all play three different positions.
Yeah.
But if you leave it to everybody else would say I am because of like how my attitude on the court. Like the way I played and like my aggressiveness on the court, if people would say that it was me, but I can't say that because we played three different positions, so it really can't compare.
Yeah, so I think the very unique thing and the reason, you know, if I'd have met you a little bit earlier, we'd probably been coaching with each other, but
true.
I think the very unique thing, man, is just being. You were on the sideline with your father and one of your brothers. You couldn't get the other brother to get on the sideline with you.
So Brandon's job, he's the money man of the family.
Yeah.
So he spent a lot of time getting in touch with clients and making sure they're financially responsible and all those good things and making sure that their families are set up for the long haul. So I told him like once I got the position, he was probably actually, I think he was the first one that called me, and told me congratulations, man. And was like, hey, we got to get this in. We got to put two game in. Whenever you aren't running union, but he was giving me all the tips and stuff, man. But Saturday practices, he was there, man. Whenever we had afternoon practices and he was able to get to practice, he was there. So technically he was there, but
games
and stuff. Yeah, because all the traveling and everything. So
that was sweet, man. And did all y'all play at Union or?
Yeah, all of us played at Union. So my freshman year, all three of us played at Union. And we ended up went to the CIAA championship with against John C. Smith. Ended up losing by three, and then we ended up going to. The regional, which was down in Augusta, Georgia, when we played at Augusta State.
Okay.
And the funny thing about that is my freshman year, my first 26 games, I was on the bench.
Right.
So it was like a little frustrating to me. So I'm like, I'm coming from my senior year averaging 25-8. Then I get to Union where Coach Robbins, they brought the whole team to one of my games. They brought the whole team there to see me. But when I get on campus, and then the season starting, and I'm sitting the bench. One game passed, two games passed, 26 games passed. I'm not really playing. I'm like, something got to give, man. So in between that, I was just putting in work, grinding, like in the weight room, putting up extra shots, running extra miles, trying to get my spot. And then the last nine games, I ended up starting.
Yeah. So tell me about, so talk to us about that experience. How has that kind of groomed you and shaped you, just about the grind, you know, the relationship piece with your brothers. Not too many people can say they play with one brother, but you play with two, and then your father being involved as well, which is a key piece. You know, the battles, how were you able to balance that? Because I know my dad, he had to stop coaching me because the dinners at the table, the dinner at times. So I was the only child, so I was in the gym. You know, we was in, I better not miss no free throw or layup.
Yeah.
You know, I gonna get it.
It's so, over.
Yeah. So how were you able to balance that and stuff?
For us, man, for us, it was just like basketball. It wasn't like we had to do it, but us seeing it so often and so consistent on a consistent basis, it's like this is rewarding. So let's get to it. And then we just ended up like just loving the game. And it was just like every time that we saw a ball, every time we saw an opportunity to go play basketball, like that's what we're gonna do. So at a young age, man, Pops had us in the gym. From what I remember him telling me, was like he used to push Brad in the stroller, he used to push me in the stroller, Brandon in the stroller going to the gym. And he said, my mom was like, where are you taking my boys? He said, I'm taking to the gym. So ever since we was in the stroller, it's like we knew basketball. We knew the gym because that's what Pops did. And mom played in high school too. So it was just like in our family. It was bred in our family. So when we like got older to where Pops could just drive us to the park, we would play like full court 21 against just the three of us. Pops would join in sometimes. And it's like, it was like battle after battle because Brad was so much bigger than us at the time. And he still is. But we Brandon and I got a little bit smarter on how to adjust around him and all that stuff. So, but the battles on the court, man, it never translated to us having any animosity towards each other in the house. For one, because basketball is basketball. You leave that on the court. That's that. In the house is family time. And then, of course, mom, you know she won't gonna have that.
Right, mom
was like, don't bring that stuff into the house. Once y'all go to the court again, y'all can battle it out. So the battles, man, from since I can remember till I don't even know when the last time we played each other in a good 21 full court game last time, but the battles were lovely, man. And it was just like, it just helped us to like get better against each other because I had to shoot over Brad sometimes. And Brandon was so great at defense. I had to find ways to get around him. And then I was good on defense. So when I would guard Brad, it would give him a little disadvantage because I was so quick. And then we just found ways to get around each other and just do certain things that'll help us make our game better, man. So it was a lovely experience growing up.
So that's like a good segue into the next topic, entrepreneurship. And one of the words you used was consistent. And then a phrase you just said, which is you just found ways to do it. Y'all found ways
right to
score. You found ways to win. You know, why entrepreneurship, man? Well, you know, why is that important to you? Well, back up. What was your degree in?
Oh, so my degree at Union was in marketing.
Okay.
So that's just right up my alley going on with the whole making that segue into entrepreneurship. I was the youngest. Almost on every team that I played or started to play on, I was the youngest. So me being, like you said, being consistent with working on my jump shot, working on my game in order to find ways to win and find ways to do things better, using my whole basketball knowledge when I was younger up to even me coaching, the whole entrepreneurship thing fits right into it. So I just relate entrepreneurship to basketball. So like right now is like my first year or a little after my first year. So my rookie year, my freshman year is like, I had to put in that work because I was so young. And then my confidence had to be like at its tip top, because if you don't have that confidence first to start off with, then it's going to be a little difficult to keep on going, man. So,
I just
relating that entrepreneurship mindset to the game of basketball and what the lessons I've learned through those years is helping out a lot, man.
Yeah. So, you know, I always talk about the brand. I know I got a few brands that I rep. You know, one is my mentor, E.T. I got his shirt on. And just learning from him how important the brand is, and then our brand, the Charlotte Dream Chaser Academy. And when you're working with your clients, man, and you're helping them with their social media and their marketing plan, what are some tips for developing first that just solid business plan? What are some tips that you can drop for us?
So one of my first tips of developing a business plan is to, one, know your audience. If you don't know who your audience is, then it's going to be hard for you to develop a message in order to reach them. So once you know your audience and you tailor your plan or your message to your audience, that right there is going to be the first step of you developing your message and getting out to people what it is that you actually do or what you want to do and how you will help them. The second tip, and I have seven of them, and I try to go through these as quick as possible. The second one is being logical or realistic. And I got that from the wife. She's always speaking about being logical, being realistic about either your goals or things that you want to just do or just have, period. Just being logical and being realistic about those things. And it's just like, if you're logical and realistic, then the goals that you'll set are going to be able to be met, because you don't want to set goals that's like out there and out of space that you're not going to be able to ever meet. So in regards to goals, we talk about the acronym SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-based. And that's a whole other topic for a whole other day.
So just
being logical and realistic about that. Yeah. The third one is having proof to back up info. A lot of people have statistics about certain things, but they don't have the proof to back it up. And people say that they do this, they do that, but a lot of people are skeptical because they want to see what it is that you can do, how you do it, and get the results from there. Fourth thing is making yourself attractive. It's like dating. We've been out of the game for a while, but it's something similar to make yourself attractive, to have those potential clients come to you, to see what you have to offer and what you're all about. Another thing is don't leave out important facts about what you do or what you sell. Another one is why will your idea work? That goes hand in hand with, I believe, making yourself attractive. And the last one is like the most important, that's pay attention to detail, because there are some things that you are going to get wrong. That's just a part of a business plan or part of life. There are some things you're going to get wrong, but there are some things that you just can't get wrong on the first go round. So paying attention to detail is one of the most important ones, but I use it as my last one because I want people to really understand that. Paying attention to detail is the most important thing that you can focus on in building a business plan.
Well, so we got our seven steps. We got our seven tips from you, Coach. And when I work with clients and I coach clients up, I think about I use this tool. I use the DISC assessment tool as kind of the foundation. Mm-hmm. And we always talk about surrounding yourself around with the right people, is building a team when starting a business. And one of my lesser strong points is paying attention to detail. Mm-hmm. So I got to make sure I have that person that's going to go behind me, cross my T's and dot my I's, because I have several ideas daily, and I got to stay focused. I got to stay focused on, what's the prioritize, what's important for the business.
Right.
Exactly. And I think we just have to continue to build around us, build our team around us to kind of complete our whole business. And I think that's one challenge that entrepreneurs have. They try to do it all by themselves, right? And you can. It's very hard. I know when I started, I learned probably every part of the business, marketing, how to build a website. I built a mini studio in the house so I could shoot my own videos, learn how to edit videos. So, I went through that whole process. So I know what I expect, and when I find people, I know they kind of know what the expectation is. And I understand that. Right. So, how important is, you're a social media expert. How important is social media now to people's businesses, Coach?
To people's businesses, social media is so powerful, because you click the share button, and you can reach thousands to millions of people nationwide, globally, whatever the case may be. And social media is just so powerful because, as you know, it's a lot of people, it's a lot of businesses that have thrived off of social media. And using the social media now is like one of the best things that people can do for their business because it's free. And being able to utilize this resource and get your products out there and attract new clients and do whatever it is that you need to do is just so rewarding for businesses. And that's another thing that I want to people to understand is like, don't give up because you see one business thriving on social media and yours isn't thriving yet. They may be in a different position than you are, or they may have been working for a longer time than you have, and you're trying to compare yourself. So that's why I say trust your process and not anyone else's, because the whole social media thing can either break you or make you. So if you pay attention to or try to compare yourself to other people and not worry about what you're doing, that could break you. But if you're looking at the fact that, oh, if they can get this done, I can get this done too, especially if my services or my products are different. So for my clients, I just have them like on a schedule, like you got to get this done, get this out. If something is happening within the society that the company or the business can relate to, throw a post out there. Make sure everybody sees that you are in tune with what's happening. You're up on current events and things like that. So that social media presence is extremely important now. And I try to drive that to all my clients is to make sure that your presence is known because people see that, especially now with the whole quarantine thing, people on their phones, computers, iPads, laptops, they on it. So they're watching. They're watching.
Yeah, and I know when I was growing my first page, I would just spend Sundays and kind of automating my posts, just spend an hour following people, automating my posts so I can be engaged and have my post scheduled out for the week. That's a gem for you guys. You starting your business, find an automated app, set aside a time, automate your post for the week, you know, maybe two or three a day. So you get like at least 20 posts in for the week. Automate those and have that running on your social media. That shows that you're active. And then another nugget that I've learned, and you can back me up on this, is be engaged with other people's posts. Don't just like, but make a comment.
Yes, sir.
On that, yes, sir. It's just funny how those algorithms work when you make a comment.
Right.
On that.
Yeah, that's very true, man. Because once you get to contact and connect with those people just by putting a comment on there, sometimes you're not expecting a response, but you get one. You're like, oh, and so that can lead to a whole bunch of different avenues that you thought you probably would have never gotten or opened yourself up to if you had hit the respond button. So, like you said, engaging with other people on their posts, comment, and things like that, super important on social media.
Yeah, man. Well, you got your book? You got your book with you?
Yeah. Let me see that thing.
Okay. Purple. Here we go. The purple. Here we go.
Purple with the gold tag. The gold sign.
Now, what's the title of your book?
All right. So the title of my book is Stay on the Tracks, The Journey of Patience and Perseverance.
Okay. So when did you write the book? Like, how did this come about? Like,
So 2014, I was released from the professional team in South America. So 2014, I was released from I was released from my team in Uruguay. And so when I got to China, I was like, man, I'm gonna write a book. Because when I got released from the team in Uruguay, I came home for a little bit, got a call from my agent, and he was like, I got something for you in China. So I was like, cool. So when I was in China, we had some downtime because they had national testing over there. and the whole national testing, we couldn't go any gyms, we couldn't do anything athletic because of this whole testing. So I was like, man, I'm gonna start writing a book. So that was 2014. Before I was getting ready to come back home and start coaching and teaching and stuff. So I was like, I'll write a book. So I had my laptop over there. I was like, okay, I'm gonna just start writing. So when I came back from China and everything was like it just felt happening at once. Mm-hmm. Started subbing, got a coaching position with the girls at Elizabeth Davis. So that started taking up some time.
Yeah, that's how we met. Yeah, that's how we met.
So yep. That started taking up some time. And then wife and I had the first child. So you know how that goes.
Well, right.
That more time was taken up. And so then, and you know, we had stair steppers. So we had Brax, then we had the next one, and then we had the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So from that 2014 period when I started writing the book to the 2019 period where I finally sat down, finalized everything I wanted to finalize, and then published the book, it was so many things that happened. So between me getting released from my team in South America, the things happening in China, and previously in college, this was another thing that I added in the book. My brother and I, we had gotten a car accident. And thank God we made it through with no scratches. Car was totaled and everything. We made it through no scratches. So that's another thing in the book. And then when we were living in Chester, we had to experience one of the scariest moments of our lives. Our firstborn had stopped breathing. Mm-hmm. We were sitting on the couch one night watching TV, and he was laying down right next to me. And he just stopped breathing. I'm like, nah, this ain't happening.
That's so crazy.
So I quickly went over to my wife and I was like, yo, you gotta do something, because I couldn't hit him on the back, because I'm a big guy. Like, I am on the back, something else is gonna mess up. Yeah. So I quickly handed him over to her. She did whatever she had to do and got back. So went to the hospital. Got everything checked out, everything. He was just acid reflux and all this other stuff that they were talking about. So glory to God, man. He's all good now. But that moment right there was scary. So that's in the book. And just everything, man. Just me stop teaching, me going through different things and situations with coaching and just life, period, man. It's just that everything that I went to in those 5 years is in this book.
And so let me ask you this. So, you know, this is the money question the whole world want to know, especially our inside friends. Why'd you give up basketball, man? Why'd you give up coaching basketball? Because my man, the coach behind you, he had a solid – it was like that Mark Jackson type deal. You know what I'm saying? He was building. I was busting you up for 2 years. 2 years straight, bust you up, and then
you was getting me,
and then all of a sudden, boom, y'all win that joint, and they 6-8 joint, have a good run at that. What's the magic question everybody want to know? What happened, man?
Man, first thing, shout out to those young men, yo. Those dudes, when I had them. It was pretty much all sophomores and three freshmen and the two seniors I had that left. So we were young. So when I was hearing about what they were doing on social media and everything, I was like, yo, these dudes getting that money. So I'm like, yeah, big ups to those guys, man. But the reason I left is because, for one, my provisional license that I was getting through Liberty, it slipped away. I didn't keep up with everything, the requirements and all of that stuff. So I own up to that 100%. So the provisional license was up. I didn't keep in touch with everything I needed to keep up with. And so when I was told that my position wasn't going to be renewed, I quickly went to the second question, like, can I still coach? So at Dale, really, it's like, if you want to be a head coach, in most cases, if you want to be a head coach, they want the head coach to be in the building.
In the building, yeah.
Right. So being that I wasn't going to be in the building anymore, it was like, let's just go with a different route. And it was like, no, we're not going to let you coach or whatever. So I didn't give up basketball completely. I'm just not coaching anymore. So, I got three boys, man, and I'm pretty sure at least one of them going to play ball. And then I know me and you, we got that relationship. So I know we coaching some camps with you and probably some AAU teams in a couple years.
These times are crazy, man. For me and SFP Athletics, what we've been able to build, we get phone calls daily. Like, when you gonna train, coach? When you gonna do a tournament? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And it's just real iffy. And
right.
You know, people doing stuff out there, you know, they staying safe, mm-hmm. but like all it takes is one. Yeah. You know, all it takes is one.
That's true.
We talk about building your brand. Like, you don't want that, mm-hmm. that stain on your brand. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
exactly.
You don't want that stain on your brand. So I pretty much been staying away from it. We got some things mm-hmm. we're working on at the end of this month. Mm-hmm. But, you know, high school season. They still voting mm-hmm. on it. It's gonna be weird. No state championships this year here in VA. It's gonna be definitely different, man. But
right.
I'm gonna miss beating up on you, man, on the sideline this year, man. It was just different coaching against them. Yeah, I mean, you whooped me so bad when you was at Davis with the girls.
And, yeah,
you whooped me so bad. Yeah, I didn't get to get you back.
That was a good bad.
Yeah, so. As we end, what is probably the most important lesson, coach, that you have learned so far on this entrepreneurship journey?
Man, I've learned so many. So, like my book, I read one line. It says, this is the back of the book, the back cover of the book. From these experiences that I previously talked about, Braxton has learned that having faith and trusting God in everything in life will test your character and make you a stronger person. So never diminishing your character because of the situations that you've been through is a very, very important thing, because your character is what people should recognize you by rather than your reputation. So that lesson right there, man. Being known by your character rather than your reputation is a lesson that I have learned throughout this journey so far in entrepreneurship. And that's the thing that I was stressing to my teams when I was at Dale, when I was at Davis. Like, have some character. Like, don't be all in a rut. If you lose, it happens. If you win, over celebratory, it's just a win. It's another win in the win column. It's something that you work for. It's something that should be celebrated, but not boastful about it. You see what I'm saying? So understand that when you do the things that you work on and you execute the right way, just like your shirt says, extreme execution. Once you do those things, man, when you win, it feels good. But you got to keep winning. You got to keep executing in order for you to win. So. And that comes from your character, being consistent and executing and doing whatever it is that you got to do in order to be successful.
Yeah, man, I love that word execute. I know for my consulting company, strategize, evaluate, and execute, right? We help you see. We help you see growth, see potential. Strategize, evaluate, and execute. So, look, coach, we're going to play a little game. Here you go. You only can answer with one word answers. One word answers.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
Right, they're gonna be back to back. Like, they're gonna be back to back. All right.
Okay.
Favorite food?
Pizza.
Basketball team.
Lakers.
Football team.
Cowboys.
Mentor.
Dad.
Winner.
Me.
All right, man. You did good. You did good, man. I appreciate it. Hey, I appreciate it. Hey, man, look. Hey, best of luck to you, man. Looking forward to connecting with you, growing with you, watching your business grow. How can we get in contact with you, with your services, and how can we get a signed copy or purchase a copy of your book? Can you please give us that information?
All right. So first, you can find me on social media, Instagram. You go BraxtonByerson_7. You can find me there. You go on Facebook and type in Braxton Byerson. I'm the only Braxton Byerson in the world, so that's a good thing. Type that in on Facebook, you'll find me. You can go to my website, www.braxb.org. You can find ways to purchase my book. You can find ways to book me for speaking engagements and things of that nature. And also, I do have a marketing business called B7 Marketing. So if you need any marketing services or you know any friends or family that need marketing services, you can find me on Instagram on that at B7 Marketing. And other than that, man, just hit me up whenever you need me and I'll be of service to you as possibly as I can.
Yeah, man. So right below us, guys, if you're looking at this video, we'll have you should see his information down there. And if you're listening, be sure to lock in, follow. On Instagram, follow us on Instagram as well, Dream Chaser Academy, Coach Jay Crane. Hey, Coach, appreciate it, man. You dropped some nuggets.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man. All right, man, appreciate everything, bro.
All right, man, take care.